Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to Whiskey Congress. And yes, we do have another whiskey for you this week, or a new whiskey for you this week. We have Doubleday bourbon from Cooperstown Distilleries.
Abner Doubleday.
45% by volume bourbon style whiskey. Actually manufactured in Indiana and bottled in New York. So a little sneaky, but it's on the bottle. So.
And also for all of you who may not know who Abner Doubleday is, he's essentially the father of baseball to a degree, the inventor, and then he was also a Civil War, general.
Maybe. Really? Okay.
I know he was an officer in the Civil War. I can't remember what his exact rank was, but there was, and he was a Union soldier.
Right. Well, so. From Cooperstown, New York, so good bet on that.
Well, you just want to get the information out there, especially these days.
So look on our Instagram, but we don't have a video this week. Bottle opener.
Yeah.
Sorry. Stevie's a bottle opener.
Sorry.
Good radio there. Anyway, so the bottle is really, really cool, right? It's shaped like a baseball. The underside of it is an actual baseball diamond. Yep. You know, it's a little awkward to pour as a result of.
It is.
At least the first one is.
Right. It's funny. It reminds me. I don't know why, because there's bottles that are shaped like skulls, but you'll understand what I'm about to say. Yep. But it kind of has that feel to it.
Right.
And I really want to get a good quality alcohol in the bottle shaped like a skull, just so I can, pour it and feel like a villain.
You really need that to feel like a villain?
Fair enough. But Jim with the zinger.
That's a tequila, I think, right?
Mm.
Is it tequila or vodka?
I think there's both a tequila and a vodka.
Okay,
if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we do whiskey, and I like this whiskey.
It's good.
It's 45% by volume. Like I said, it's
90
got
a proof.
Good burn, but I mean that right away. It is a good burn. You feel the heat, but it doesn't like take away from the flavor.
It doesn't burn your tongue. It's a classic bourbon feel, taste, flavor to it. It's a little bit young, in terms of. Just the taste, and it just doesn't quite have that maturity that you get. But I mean, again, it's bourbon, so bourbon's a little bit different style than some of your other scotches. But even with it being a little bit young, and I think it may be blended with some older bourbons as well, the flavor, vanilla, caramel, I think
a little cherry in there. Maybe it's
a little bit. I mean, and for whatever reason, I'm picking that up a lot in a lot of these different bourbons. But it's good. And with the 90 proof, I mean, I give it a solid 91.
I gave it a 92, okay. And I think I kicked it up a notch because of the bottle. I'm not
lying. You know what? That's fair. I mean, it's such a great bottle.
Because that would be something you would put on your liquor cabinet and go, look at this cool bottle.
Where did you get it?
I got it when I was home in Buffalo on the 4th of July. So
okay, that
I
makes
was,
sense.
You know, I was, I,
so
I,
you
I
were
think
in
it's
New
only
York.
Available in New York, and I saw stuff, and I'm like, I'm going to find something new for the show that we can't get in our hometown of Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
So
excellent.
So anyway, I like it.
Good job out of you.
Thank you. We both had wild weeks in terms of travel. I drove back from Rocky Mount, North Carolina to Cleveland in a day yesterday.
You're done in Rocky Mount.
I'm done in Rocky Mount. Look, I've been I've been all over the place, and I've tried to make everything a case by case basis with all of the. I'm so sick of the term politically correct being used and overused and misused, but we've gotten to a point where both politically on the right and on the left, people are seeking out ways to destroy people they perceive as enemies.
You don't think like I think, you must go down.
Right, exactly. And they said that's what happened with the Roseanne thing. The more I think about that, certainly her tweets did get her burned, but I truly believe that she was a nightmare to work with, again, because that was her reputation. They moved so fast, I think, they were looking for the excuse, and she gave it to them. But I could be wrong.
Right. In either way, I mean, I think she was a victim of her. She, set the trap for herself.
True.
And I think you're right, because her tweets, she had been tweeting for the last you know, since, you know, Twitter came out, you know, ridiculous tweets. So, and they knew it was there. And maybe they either, maybe they told Roseanne, hey, you got a tight leash, a short leash. And if you screw it up, we're going to yank it. Or maybe, like you said, she just, she seems like an obnoxious person. And I could see where it'd be tough to work with her. They booted her. And, you know, they use that as an excuse, and they got, they, and they were able to use it as an excuse,
right,
because of the response of, oh my God, that's so offensive what right. she said. And
truth being, it was certainly dumb.
Right. I mean, it was it's a shitty comment. Is it accurate? No. I mean, it's ridiculous, but I think they definitely use that to get her out for one reason or another.
Right.
And it's odd because they're bringing the show back.
Without her.
You know that?
I did.
Yeah, they're
I
bringing
did.
The show back without her.
And she actually was on Hannity last night or a couple nights ago giving one of the worst apologies ever. She basically said, you know, this is a teachable moment. I think, you know, we should sit down together and talk. And, you know, I didn't know she was actually black, but, you know, I'll accept what I did was wrong. And then she follows up with, but you need to do something about her hair. First of all, Roseanne, you are not in a place to criticize people's looks. Second of all, Sean Hannity then was so uncomfortable by this. He goes, well, people say things about my hair, too. No, Sean, they don't. Other than that it looks like a helmet that was welded to your head. Fine. I just was just a hypocrite, but fuck him.
Right. I mean, I say shit about his hair all the time. You're right.
Okay.
I
just got caught in a lie. I'm owning it. My bad.
You're right, though. That, but to me, well, no, actually, hold on, let me back it up. I don't think you're right. I don't necessarily know. I think what she did was that, to me, that's her being a comic, right? That's her being a bad comic. Where, I mean, Roseanne was a good comic.
Yeah.
And she probably still is, but that was a bad comedic moment by her. Hey, I'm going to apologize, but because I'm a comic, you have to know that I'm a comic, so let me slip something in there that is inappropriate. And she does.
Very possible.
And saying she has bad hair, is that really inappropriate?
No, it's
no,
stupid.
The timing is bad, considering what you're there to do.
Well, and you're like, here's an olive branch, and when you reach for it, I'm going to smack you in the face with it, but go, oh, trust me, grab it. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, the whole, you know me. I will defend comics and comedy.
Till you die.
Until I die. But.
See, I wish I had a soundboard, because then I would have played a little Machine Gun Kelly right there.
Well, that's why you don't have one. So my thought about it is maybe she was trying to do that and just did it poorly. I think she's just in a really bad state of mind. I mean, she's come out and said she's on like 5 antidepressants
that's
and all this
bullshit.
Other stuff.
I mean, everybody says that. Like, well, they fuck up and it's like, oh my God, I'm just on all these pills and the doctors pump me up with so many drugs and I don't know what I'm saying. Like, oh, okay, right. You know, same thing, Kanye West, like, oh, fucking cocaine.
Dude, Ambien fucks people up, though.
It
does. I've seen it personally.
I've got a good friend who took Ambien for a while, and he had to get locked in a closet.
My dad was addicted to that shit, and I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to go down that road.
It was fun, and then
I took it once and went to bed. And woke up on my couch with no idea what happened in the 11 hours that, like, maybe I just wandered to the couch, or maybe I walked out and, you know,
did something weird.
I used to do a bit about how I went up and there's a dead hooker wearing bowling shoes in the middle of my floor. I'm like, what the fuck did I do last night? But anyway, Ambien is a hell of a drug. So anyway, Roseanne aside, the left has, left-wing media, if we want to call it that, has had their attack dogs out, or the left-wing political correctness. I hate that fucking term so much now.
Just the progressive left in general.
Has been going after people like Roseanne. Oh, you got to fire them. You got to fire them. Now the right has started digging into the past of everyone else on the left
and
trying to find
attacks. And so, you know, you want to talk about James Gunn, and it took me a minute to even process who he was. And now I know, you know, director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, the first two, and he was fired from the third one because of tweets that he put out between 2008 and 2011. I looked them up. They were
brutal.
They were, yeah.
And the tweets themselves, I mean, they're about having about fucking like, kids and no, rape. I mean, yeah. And so, we don't need to repeat what the jokes were.
I'd rather be specific.
They made me uncomfortable.
You can find it on Google.
Yeah, I mean, James Gunn Twitter jokes.
Actually, just James Gunn Twitter get you there. That's how I got it.
Either way, the jokes are they're fireable offenses in my book. If I said that at my job, if I tweeted that, and someone from my job, my boss, saw it, I can tell you right now, he would call me in. What the hell is this? You're like, oh well, I just thought it was funny. Oh, maybe it's a bad joke. I'll delete it. Like, no, it's already out there. We can't have you representing us.
Is it more to that point? He works for Disney,
right?
I mean,
exactly.
Jokes about pedophilia, not great.
Right. Jokes about
Disney.
Pedophilia and rape, not good. Right.
Ever. And when you're working for Disney, especially bad.
So I don't think that's an example of someone being fired for.
Because it happens. Maybe not for an over. Well, here's my point.
Well, here's
someone dug into the past and said, "Let's dig as deep as we can."
Fine. That's different than it's a little bit different because someone went digging and they found it. But that's on him because it was his action.
Yep.
Right? He's the one who decided to, this is going to be funny. Right? And then he puts it out there. Right. He's the one who decided to hit send. Right? That was the fatal flaw. You want to type it, you read it, ha ha ha, chuckle to yourself, delete. Right? Not send. And his inability to hit delete instead of send is what got his ass fired. Now, you want to talk about the mechanism?
Yes.
Right? Well, that whole digging up and that is happening underground. It's on Reddit, 4chan. It's a conservative, you know, kind of underground wing.
Backlash.
Right, but it's a group of people that are, you know, to the you know, relatively far right. They have some roots in racism, white supremacy, allegedly, supposedly, and you know, that's where some of this, like guys like Richard Spencer come from and that whole Unite the Right thing in Charlottesville with the tiki torches and all that. A lot of that came or was born out of Reddit and 4chan. So that group of people, right, and if you're using Reddit, like Reddit to me is annoying as shit to use.
I know what it is.
It's constant threads.
Right,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So all that being said, that group of people, they're very good at going back, and apparently they have nothing else better to do with their time, but that's what they do. And they go and look at people, whether they're in Hollywood or the media or anyone to the left of their thought process, you know, center left and further left. They go and they dig on their social media and their online personality and their online life to see what they can find, and they take things out of context. Right, they literally will screenshot things and cut other things out of it and throw it out there and say, oh, he made a joke about pedophilia, or, you know, which is what they did with a Trevor Noah. You know, Trevor Noah had made a joke, and it was a couple tweets. You know, one of the tweets had made a reference to, you know, making pedophilia okay or whatever.
The thing that got him in trouble was he made jokes about, he did this in stand-up, he made jokes about Aborigine women.
Oh, that's right. There was someone else who had made a joke about, they had made a joke, maybe it was Tom Arnold, I can't remember who it was,
but okay,
someone had made a joke, and it was two tweets back when, before Twitter was 282 characters or whatever, and they took out the first half, kept the second half, there was a reference to pedophilia, and then Breitbart turns around and says, so-and-so is a pedophilia, or so-and-so is talking about pedophilia openly, and there's this whole movement. And Breitbart talks about it all the time, how the left-wing media is trying to normalize pedophilia, and it's a thing in Hollywood, and it's
an
underground cult in D.C. and everywhere else, and they're doing the yeoman's work to expose it, but the left-wing media is fighting them, you know, at every turn to keep it underground.
That's the narrative of that group.
That's the narrative of the group. And Breitbart is perpetuating it.
Yes.
Right? They're the ones saying it.
Are they funding it? Do we know?
No, I don't know.
Man. Okay.
I'm not investigative reporter guy that's going to figure go follow the money.
I don't know if someone had come out with that or not. So, yeah, it's kind of weird to me that people are getting brought down for shit they wrote 7, 8 years ago or 10 years ago. You're right. That doesn't mean they didn't say it. I mean, back to your story with the guy you know from powerlifting is like, not, you know what, I'm not going to go down there, because maybe he had some bad thoughts in his past and he's matured as a person, but it's tough to get rid of a tattoo like that. But that doesn't really apply to a stupid tweet about pedophilia. Having said that, it's a dangerous world we're in now, because it is just like, especially when things are taken out of context or taken out of just print, especially if it's part of a longer conversation, it's so easy to misrepresent somebody as being, you know, awful in whatever way you want to say. I mean, I've done jokes live that if you just quoted the words I said without the context that led to it, you could make me sound like the biggest sexist asshole on the planet. I mean, I make a joke about the Saudi royals and how they, you know, anyway, the punchline becomes that women weren't allowed to drive here in Saudi Arabia until this year. So the one thing they got right, now they fucked that up. And, oh, it's a good joke. It's part of a longer narrative. Anyway, okay. if you took that out of context, you say, Jim doesn't think people should be allowed, women should be allowed to drive. That's not what I'm saying. But my political career, you've said that if I ever run for office, you want to be my campaign director, start fixing that shit now.
Yeah, stop telling jokes.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Please.
I will not.
I mean, if we're serious about it.
All right. Let's take the comedy angle that much further, because Sacha Baron Cohen is now in the headlines, and he's putting on a new show on Showtime called Who is America? And he interviewed a bunch of politicians, mostly right-wing politicians, and he deceived them. And yep. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Sacha Baron Cohen. I think his movies are sometimes a little more than I can handle, but they do make me laugh.
I thought Borat was hilarious, and I thought his role in Ricky Bobby.
Talladega Nights, yes.
Yeah, in Talladega Nights, I thought he was hilarious.
I agree with both of those things. There's parts of Borat that I can't believe. When two disgusting, hairy, naked men are rolling around, and the fact that they run through a fucking hotel into a conference. Right. The first time I saw that, I was so grossed out, I couldn't laugh. The second time, I couldn't stop laughing, because I'm imagining me being like, all of a sudden, there's two really hairy, naked men just like, like they stand on the elevator next to those people, and those people had to sit there and keep a straight face. All right. Anyway, enough about that. So he, in one case, posed as an agent for Mossad, and he was teaching some guy named, was it James Spencer?
No, you're talking about the guy out of Georgia.
The guy in Georgia, yes.
Right. And, I mean, what we do know about him is that he had lost his reelection bid. He was finishing out his term. He got beat out, and he was running on this whole thing that immigrants should be, you know, bust out, and he in his ad, his campaign ad, there was a bus. It was a big bus that was painted that it was like the deportation bus or something like that to take immigrants back across the border. And fine, I don't want to get into the whole border debate, but it was tasteless. So even if you feel that immigrants shouldn't be here or illegal immigrant, whatever your stance is, there's better ways to do it than say, let's just shove him on a bus and put him back across the border.
So his name is Jason Spencer.
Yes, Jay Spencer.
And do we want to talk about what happens in the video, or should we just say you look for it in YouTube?
Well, no, this is. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Talk about this, because this guy.
Oh, geez, I forgot about the first part. So, go ahead.
No.
You're
too excited. I don't want to take your thunder.
I don't want to do this because he's Sacha Baron Cohen tells him that. That if you're being attacked, here's how to protect yourself. And the first thing he says you do is you need to do what? And he says, yell.
Well, he said, he said, yell the, N word.
Right? Well, he leads him to that, yell the N word. And then the guy yells nigger four times in a row very loudly. Yes. And you're like, you're going to make me say it. Fine.
Yeah.
And Sacha Baron gets it. I know the rule of the show. And Sacha Baron Cohen goes, the N word is Nani. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's
and that's not even the best part, though.
No.
He says, if you're being attacked by Muslims, the way to protect yourself is to run your butthole into them, because that it'll turn you gay and make them go to hell. So then he convinces the guy that he needs to do it with his pants down, and the dude literally drops it all, underwear too, and is backing up. Butthole first at Sacha Baron Cohen as he's demonstrating the effectiveness of anti-terrorism using your butthole. This guy got elected to an office at one point, and he did that.
Jim, I just want to bring you back.
No, you've already... say it again, but you've already sold me.
the people that we elect to office in our government are not smart, right? Not all. Some of them are very intelligent. Some of them are very sharp and are good at what they do. Others are complete idiots.
Yes.
They just are. And it's part of the reason why our government is ineffective, right? Because people, when people are just...
And now we're gravitating to idiots.
Well, I mean, people are just voting for names, right? Like, they don't take it really that serious. Right? I mean, people kind of do, but they don't, right? Like, people go and they vote and they put the sticker on, but how much attention do they actually pay to who's running? Unless it's someone they know. Like, if you're in a small town like Youngstown, where I'm from, then people pay a little bit closer attention because everyone knows everybody, so there's some sort of affiliation with the people running. But for the most part, people don't pay attention. They're just like, oh, yeah, total John Davis. I had my last name's Davis. Yep, vote for that guy. O'Malley? There's been an O'Malley and this in the guy seat, was, and I'll
this,
vote for that guy.
This guy was a relatively low-level elected official.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, even for some of the bigger...
Palin was a governor. She was also a target of a vicious attack from Sacha Baron Cohen in her... No, she used the word evil.
Yes.
A vicious, evil attack. Sarah.
Well, I mean, it's comedy, and so to a degree, there's a bit of like you give comedy a pass, you let comedy be comedy, you judge it either it made you laugh or it didn't.
Right? Now, when you get this political, though, I do think you need to hold it to a different level.
I don't though. If we're gonna accept comedy as kind of a form barometer of kind of where we're at as a society or even as a check to a certain degree, I think you let it go. I think the line, the crossing the line with comedy is much further.
I totally agree with that.
Than anything else. And
100% agree with
and
that.
And even with what, even like, you know, going back to what we were saying about Roseanne, hers was stupid. What she said was dumb. Right, but I wasn't offended by it. Right, it didn't piss me off, and I didn't immediately go to again. I saw when she said Valerie Jarrett looked like something from Planet of the Apes. I looked at that
Muslim Brotherhood had a kid with Planet of the Apes or something stupid.
Whatever, I mean, whatever she said, it was just dumb. It wasn't good comedy, and it was in bad taste. But that was kind of it. That's where I drew the line. But because of the hubbub that was made of it, and because ABC may have been looking for a way to boot her anyway, which I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm speculating.
But I agree with your thought process there. Then, you know, she's out. And so with this, you know, I think, you know, and Sarah Palin's allowed to say whatever she wants to say. She wants to put this thing on Facebook, this long dramatic post. Like she makes it seem as if, like, ISIS came to her house and held her hostage.
While kicking her dog.
Right, while kicking her dog and making her listen to Bristol Palin speak, you know, read Shakespeare. she can do that. That's fine. Now, did what he did. Now, listen, it was dramatic what he did, right? Because, I mean, he's flying people out to D.C. or to New York or wherever he's doing, and then putting him in hotels, and I mean, he is going all out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so this is no, I mean, so, and then, you know, she's got the support of CBS and Showtime, and...
In her defense, her alleged reason for calling evil was he posed as a disabled veteran. Now, he did not call himself a veteran, I don't think. In fact, that could be called stolen valor, I think, if he took it too far.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Not, but it could be. I mean, it is.
But I think he ended up saying
he said he was the United States
veteran of the U.S. Postal Service.
No, I think he said the United Parcel Service.
Yes. Yes. So, either way,
which
VPS.
All right. So I am a fan of Sacha Baron Cohen, but tricking Sarah Palin is really not a feather in your cap.
Right.
When in terms of the politicians aren't smart. It's pretty well documented. The guy who wrote the book about trying to train her to be McCain's running mate came out and said it. And, I mean, Steve Schmidt will...
I don't need Steve Schmidt.
No, you don't.
I mean,
no,
I just
don't.
Need to watch her and listen to her.
True.
I mean, she's...
You betcha. I mean, all right.
Because I can see Russia from my front porch.
But sometimes people get caught in a, you know, in a... what's the word I'm looking for? Not a stereotype, but they get caught with a catchphrase or caught with whatever and get labeled in a way, and they can't escape it. My favorite example of that, and I know I've said it to you before, is George H.W. Bush. He's called a wimp. Dude was a World War II fighter pilot who got shot down in the middle of the fucking Pacific and came back and did it. But he got that label, right. And people threw that at him for the rest of his political career. I'm like, you know, as far as...
I fully agree with you there.
In this case, Sarah Palin has earned that title, and I'm not saying otherwise. But to the bigger point of what Sacha Baron Cohen's doing, by the way, he also got a few politicians to sponsor a program for arming pre-kindergarten children, and they literally had, like, here's Tony the Shooting Horse, or I'm butchering the little toys that had guns in them, right. So you could shoot.
And that's where you, I don't care who you are as a politician or entertainer or whatever, when something comes up that's just that ridiculous, then you pause because it just, even if you're talking about optics.
Right.
Right. Even if you're talking about optics, one, you're about to say something incredibly stupid, but what you can do is, because he was reading, the guy with the guns and arming kindergarten. Kids
to match what the Israelis
to match what the Israelis do.
Which they don't do, but.
They don't, and that was all a scam. Right. But if you're reading that on a teleprompter, you stop and say, you either stop and ad lib and say something completely different, right. What are they going to do? Or you stop and say, they're about to have me read something that I just don't agree with, that doesn't quite make sense. I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I am a firm believer that people should have the right to bear arms. I don't necessarily agree that we should be arming kindergartners.
Four-year-olds.
Right. I just can't imagine my daughter, Eden, right, with AR-15 or you know, something of that.
That would be problematic.
Now, listen, my kid's strong. Right, like, I mean, like, I got a strong kid. I mean, she's mine, so it makes sense. Yes. But that being said, I don't think it's
time. Bedtime would be a whole new experience.
It would be. Right, she could bed whenever she wants.
At that time, you forgot the pink ice cream.
I didn't forget. We went to East Coast Custard.
That's right.
This is where I think we're starting to see it's been happening, but you're starting to see the luster of our politicians just go away. In that,
I hope they're, so.
They're robots.
It should, yeah.
Well, I mean, and they're robots. So we need people who can think on their feet. We need people who are intelligent enough to know when they're being duped. Fine, you go for it for a while, but at some point, when does it get too weird for you, right? And if it doesn't, and if you just have no, like, oh well, I'll just go along with it, and blah 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 blah. Like, you have got to be able to. Even if it was legit, even if that was real, you have got to say, I don't want to sign my name on this.
Right. And to his discredit, Joe Walsh was the former Illinois congressman who did this, and there were others. But he went on a show and said, I got duped. I'm going to look stupid. Sacha Baron Cohen's funny. That's all great, Joe. Fantastic. But... you thought you were being recorded for an event. It's not like someone said something ridiculous. I mean,
you didn't figure it out until well after. Like, he said in that interview where he said he got duped. He's like, I didn't even think about it until 3 o'clock the next morning. I'm like, oh. Like, I can just imagine him laying there, and then his head shoots up, and he's like, oh.
But, like, I'm kind of thinking comparison, like, to Billy Bush laughing at the Trump tape. Billy Bush didn't know he was being recorded.
Right.
And he's trying to appease some jerk who's saying stuff. Like, okay, I got to get through this, This is a guy who said, record me saying these words. Then right. you own them.
So here's a couple things. Either you didn't read what you were about to say, right? You just said, oh, put it in the teleprompter, I'll read whatever.
Right. Right?
Or you did read it. Right. Or you did read it and you were fine with it. Right?
Which is much worse.
Right. But either way.
They're both bad.
Either way, either it's unacceptable.
Robot, either a robot, a psychopath, or a combination of the two. Anyway, I'm Sacha Baron Cohen's ratings are going to go through the roof because of this. I'm watching it.
Yeah, I liked
him even when he was Ali G.
I probably won't watch it just because TV is hard. I've been forcing myself to watch a certain show.
We'll get back to that
because I pay up when I say I'm going to do something. I do it. So,
okay,
you know,
we'll
get back to that in a few minutes
because we've not talked at all about the mainstream. Political Trump news. So we haven't talked about Michael Cohen's tape. We haven't talked about a bunch of stuff.
Listen, I'll touch on it briefly. All right, Michael Cohen's tape to this point is a nothing burger with a little bit of hot sauce on it. Okay. In that, listen, the tape where he's where they're talking about the woman and the affair. The reason why it's not, like, okay, Trump had an affair and he talked to his lawyer about it. It's a campaign finance violation. The maximum penalty for that is a fine. If you think that a Republican House and a Republican Congress are going to impeach their president based off of a tape where he's talking to his lawyer, right, where his lawyer basically illegally records him, and they talk about paying off a woman that he had an affair with, that's not how this is going to go down. Sorry.
Right. No, I agree
with
you.
It's just not. Does it show that Trump is a scumbag? Does it show that, you know, the sketchiness of it shows all that. But this is that it's nothing, right? And frankly, I don't really give a damn. You know, I don't care. Like, fine, pay her off. I don't care. It's too close. It's close to the election. All right, fine. You know, so fine him. He'll pay it. I'm pretty sure he can afford it. And let's move. If you're going to impeach him, then make it worth my fucking while.
It better be Russia collusion related, which
even you go still.
To, but I agree with the fact that if you listen to or watch CNN, MSNBC, you're going to hear a lot about the whole Cohen tape. And if you didn't know Trump was a playboy, you didn't know anything about him, because he was a playboy from, I knew it from the 80s, and I was 17 or 16.
Right. I was like 8 or 9.
I'm aware of that much older than you. But while all this has been going on, while this has been getting a ton of news coverage, something that I'm pretty passionate about, the environment and environmental conservation and just conservationism in general, I didn't even know until you told me. I'm going to give myself the defense that it was a very weird final week for me on my North Carolina project, that there's an attempt by Republicans in Congress with the backing of the president to roll back the Endangered Species Act. And they didn't. I've read a couple things about it, and some of the senators and congressmen that are supporting getting rid of it or modifying it, I think is the word they use, are saying that it's because we want to do a better job of protecting endangered species. But some of them have flat out come out and said, "We're doing this because we need to make it easier for development and oil drilling and all those other things to occur." And I'm sure that,
you know what, here, this is, you know, we haven't had Mike Wood Jr. on the show in a while. We probably need to have him back on. You know, he's busy doing his own thing. But, you know, he Mike talks about what are the causes of violence.
Right.
Right. Environmental poisoning, resource inequality, local instability, police.
Right, those are the big four.
Now, some people are going to lose their shit over
I saw that on the Facebook page. Where'd you? Okay.
It's in his book. He's talked about it.
Right. Okay. He posted it recently. Okay, sorry.
Right. But, so, you know, people lose their shit over the police. Like, oh, the police protect and serve. And he's got a whole thing on protecting and serving and what that actually means and doesn't mean. But where this kind of connects, like, they're talking about, like, so we have... They're rolling back protections of endangered species and endangered plants. They're attacking, like, the EPA itself, the agency,
right,
is under attack from the inside.
Right. I mean, right? Pruitt was a scumbag and had to quit for that reason, but then he turned the agency over to a guy we don't even know about, but apparently more coal friendly.
Right. I mean, he turned it over to a guy who isn't trying to use the position for his own gain and is his sole mission. Like, he's one of those guys who is goal-oriented and always gets the job done and is never distracted and doesn't drink and doesn't go to strip clubs, but he does destroy everything in his path.
There's two reasons I don't respect him. He doesn't drink. You know?
and so the guy who's running the EPA right now is destroying it from the inside out, right? Like, so we have an administration who... They throw a lot of different things out there, a ton of different distractions. And, you know, there's the whole Russia thing, which the media is doing for them, and they're using that, and they're spinning it this different way. And there's, you know, the president loves to bring up the NFL and the whole kneeling thing, right?
Right.
Like, because the NFL season's about to start, and he's pissed at the NFL because he can be an owner. And so he uses the anthem just to jam that up their ass. And so he's dealing with that and everything else. But the real damage that this administration is doing is to the environment. Why does that matter? Because environmental things, right? Environmental, like the environment, and that's what kills poor people, right?
Right.
Shitty environments is what kills poor people and makes
And things like the Endangered Species Act. So people say, well, who gives a fuck about the spotted owl? Well, I've never seen one. You're right. I've never seen one. They don't directly impact my ecosystem. But those kind of protections are what stops basically just...
Well, it stops, you know, cutting down a timber. It stops oil drilling. And all those sort of things have environmental impacts.
Right.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to say. There's a bigger impact than the remaining 50 spotted owls we have out there because it shows the bigger picture that the environment is being damaged by people who will take short-term, very large profits ahead of what's good for people in general.
Like people We share this planet with animals. We share it with, you know,
right.
with everything else that's here, and so we should kind of take that into consideration, right? Now I'm not an environmental guy.
I'm a bow hunter for
kind of. Right. I'm not a conservationist by any stretch of the imagination. I just never really gotten into it or studied it or whatever. But there's a value there. There's an importance there. And when you combine this with how the EPA is being dismantled. Right, because and I'm tying this to the EPA because I feel that that's as much right. of an issue as this, if not bigger, because as the EPA rolls back regulations and they say you don't have to worry about this and you don't have to worry about that, who does that directly impact? Right, it's going to impact poor people, right, and people of color, which you know, but a lot of white people as well, right? Those are the people who are going to be impacted by these sorts of things, and. All those things, what does that lead to? It leads to, you know, kids being maybe born with, you know, autism and anger issues and emotional issues and all other shit. And then, like, so now you've got kids with these various mental health disabilities. They don't have access to the resources to help them with those disabilities. So then they don't know how to manage their emotions and their feelings.
Right.
So they become violent, right? More police are brought in to deal with them. They clash, thus videos that we see all over the place of, you know, this guy, well, we knew he had mental health issues and you guys just shot him, right? Like, that's how all this ends up becoming a cycle.
You know, I hate talking about Mike without him on the show.
Well, I'm not talking about Mike.
Let me finish my point. I talked to him the other day, and he talked about lead poisoning, and I never had really thought about it at the levels that he and I were talking about. You know, I was literally wandering up the streets. We made a quick phone call to him. I was walking up on the streets of Lakewood. We ended up talking for like an hour. And I never thought about lead poisoning. And then it clicked to me that, you know, lead is a heavy metal. Mercury is a heavy metal. We've known mercury makes you crazy for a long fucking time. The term mad as a hatter comes from the fact that they worked with mercury and went crazy. Well, lead is not the same, but it's chemically very similar.
Right.
And the fact that it could have that kind of impact on your head suddenly clicked in my head. No, I'm embarrassed it took me that long. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. I mean, I just, in my industry, I work with the right. whole idea of lead all the time and just getting lead out of these old buildings. And it's
paint pipes or both?
Both.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like every, you know, when you know, from my old company and now who I work for now, a big push is obviously getting rid of the lead paint. But then when we go into these old buildings and rehab them, rip the damn pipes out, you know, put sure. in new pipes because one, you know, the old pipes leak but they're corroded and it's lead and metal and whatever.
Flint, Michigan.
And who knows what we're pumping into this water. And part of it is just it's states are requiring it. Now, the flip side to this, the kind of the bright side is that we do have the states, right? The feds may be saying, all right, well, we're not going to do X, Y, and Z, but we do have some instances where the states are going to say, well, all right, feds maybe, but you still have to abide by our
Yeah, but again, rules. I'll point, look
Listen,
at Flint, Michigan.
Okay, fine. But it's still there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
there's local,
and
too.
Flint, Michigan was more, that was political, that was local, that was, there was a lot of things went wrong in Flint, Michigan to get them to where they are now.
Right. But I guess, to me, when the feds are no longer a threat, and I don't work with government officials nearly as much as you or at all. I do deal with regulated industries, though, and I do know that when
you don't deal with the FDA?
No, I said I do deal with regulated industries. I don't deal with I've dealt with the FDA face to face, but I don't deal with public officials.
Face-to-face.
Oh yeah,
fuck it. Bare knuckle.
Oh, I wish. The point is that the feds are the scary ones, right? No one ever says, you know, the North Carolina Board of Health is going to come and say something to you. The feds can come in and do shit.
No, so that's not true. I mean, because...
In my industry, that's true.
For your industry, mine's a little bit different. I mean, because I have to deal local, state, federal.
Right.
And any one of those groups can shut you down when you're talking about buildings or construction or things like that. You know, I mean, like, one of my toughest issues is dealing with planning boards, you know, I mean, or planning commissions or whatever you want to call them, whatever they're called in whatever locality you're working in. Because if you go in front of a planning commission and they don't like your site plan, they don't like how your if they don't like your tree line, they don't like how you've covered your HVAC, they can shut your project down. So it definitely, like, local and state can still definitely have an impact on this. So my point is not all is lost.
Right, I understand. But when it comes to things like endangered species, the feds are
because, I mean, like, again, states still do have power and control. Like, listen, right. If a state says you can't do X, what are you going to do? Say, fuck you, feds no, say I can?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is...
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying when it comes to things related to endangered species, I don't know that there's a state board that deals with that. I think that's exclusively federal.
I'm sure there is. I don't think either of us know enough about that. We probably don't. So
and so, but let's to wrap,
look it up.
Let's do that. To wrap it up.
The
bigger picture. You miss me. The bigger picture is that a lot of shit's going on. I won't even say behind the scenes. It's not even all that well veiled.
Right.
It's just not getting anyone's attention. That, you know.
You know what? So I was listening. I was listening to POTUS, Sirius XM 124, and they were talking about this very issue. Right. It was a reporter from the New York Times, and he was some sort of Washington correspondent, and he David Sanger, right?
Okay.
And David Sanger was saying how there's so many various things going on. But fortunately, because the news media and how strong the news media is, they can cover everything. It'll all be covered and everyone will know everything. Well, in a way, he's right. But in a way, he's wrong, because he's right in the fact that there are, fortunately for the public, there are people out there who are covering all this stuff about the endangered species and the EPA and, you know, all these other little ancillary things that don't necessarily have the gusto of the big headlines. But the tough part is that those things get swallowed by the Trump administration, the hurricane that is the Trump administration.
Yeah, the stormy, you know, I mean,
the storm.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like things like Stormy Daniels and affairs, that doesn't matter to our government.
Let me put most of my direction at CNN right now, because I have been accused of being a CNN apologist, and sometimes I do apologize for them when I think it's appropriate. But I've seen nothing about the Endangered Species Act from CNN. I've heard more about Stormy Daniels and McDougal or whatever the playmate was. And mm-hmm. I mean, I know all about Michael Cohen's tape saying, yeah, Trump banged a porn star or banged a playmate. I don't care.
And this is where our responsibility as citizens comes in, because now we know the environment. We know the political environment. We know the media environment. We know that our media sources have agendas. Whether it's the New York Times or CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or Breitbart or Al Jazeera, wherever you get your news, they have agendas. So you now have the responsibility to go to as many different resources as possible to put the story together, and you got to do some work and you got to do it yourself, right? Like, that's just where we're at.
And more important.
And your politicians, right? Like, they have agendas. They are you know, they're feeding a certain narrative. They're playing for the cameras, and they're looking to get reelected. They're looking to get promoted. You know, they're looking that I want to be the next secretary of XYZ. So they're going to say things and do things a certain way. You have to be able to kind of put the truth together, but at the same time, you can't have something that is fact put in your face and disregard it because you don't like it or you're not comfortable with it.
Well, I agree with everything you said, and I think to enhance that is...
Oh, you're going to enhance it? White guy's going to enhance the black guy?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
My goodness.
I'm ornery today. I had a long day.
You have not gotten to take shots at me in a long time. I know. You missed it. Okay.
I haven't been able to beat up on you verbally. I had a long day at work. I had a rough day at the gym. I almost died twice this morning at the gym. Like it just.
All right. You're burying the lead here, but the point is that when politicians worry about being reelected, that is the primary concern of damn near every politician. And if you want proof, look at the ones that have stepped down because they thought they were going to lose, and how differently they act.
Jeff Flake,
perfect example. He's not running again, so now he's sane all of a sudden. And so, if you let politicians know, starting at the local,
John McCain to a certain degree.
Well, he's always been that way.
He's always been a little bit of a
But there's other Chuck Gowdy.
No, you're thinking of Trey Gowdy.
Chuck Gowdy's an astronaut or something, isn't he?
I think he just made up a
name. But yeah, Trey Gowdy's another one though. I'm not running again. I'm going to let it fly. If local politicians and regional and national politicians know you care more about the environment, you care more about the future of the planet, the future of children, than you do about who Trump stuck his dick in 10 years ago, maybe, just maybe, they'll start caring more about that too. All right, that was my attempt to wrap that up. You now want to talk to me about our agreement.
All right, so I asked you to watch...
Jessica Jones, which I have,
and Luke Cage, or
start
with Jessica Jones. Bring yourself into the Netflix Marvel universe, and you did.
I have, you did,
and I applaud you.
I've enjoyed it. It's been the one scene I want to say is when she first meets Luke Cage in Jessica Jones, he calls himself Luke. I'm like, that's it, that's Luke Cage. Or he didn't even call himself Luke. I'm like, he's a bartender in New York City. He's obviously a badass. She goes to rescue him from getting beat up by a group of angry men, and it doesn't go well for the group of angry men. She really wasn't needed, but when they realize, okay, they're both superheroes or have superpowers, and to demonstrate, he shows up with a circular saw and takes it to his own abs and destroys a circular saw with his abs. I'm like, that's just fucking badass shit. And that's something like Wolverine go, damn, that's badass shit. I'd have to get cut and heal. You just went
right. I mean, the guy who plays Luke Cage. Got a quality set of abs.
Yes, he does.
So I asked you to watch the Marvel stuff on Netflix, and in return, I needed to watch Californication, which I did. Well, not all of it, because I think, what is there, seven seasons?
Yes, and don't watch season seven.
Well, I'm probably going to have to now.
Okay, okay, here we go.
I want to... You're
committed? You know. Okay, cool.
So... this is my thought. I'm about halfway through season two.
All right.
Okay? I like the show. It's good.
Okay.
I think the writing's good, and the writing is big for me. The conversations are good. I like Duchovny's character. To a degree, there's something that's a little bit annoying about him, but I actually haven't figured out what it is yet. So I'm gonna do a little psychoanalysis
here. I think I know where this is going. Should we make this a come at me, bro, or should we?
Fine, whatever.
I know where this is going, and I've got one for you. So if you don't have one for me,
This will be my come at me, bro, for you. Which I think we've missed the last couple shows, but it's this show. I think it personifies the, you know, middle-aged single white guy dream, right? You're this guy in California. You are able to fuck abroad every night of the week if you want to. You say what you want. You do what you want. There are literally no repercussions for your actions to an extent.
Wait till season three, but okay.
Right? I mean, so, like, in season one, he gets robbed by a broad that he fucks, but apparently it was so good that she brings everything back, and they end up fucking again, and he doesn't even have to worry about knowing her name.
Okay.
Right? And so I think a lot of this, a lot of the enjoyment of this show is just, damn, I wish I could live that life. Right, I think that's part of it. Let me respond, please.
Now, you're 100% right. There.
Now, fine. Now, where it's for a guy like me, where it took me a second to get into it, right? Because they wanted to put that out there quick, right? Like, this guy's a playboy. He has sex with random women all the time. It's just his thing. That's how he gets down. And so, I didn't have a track record like that, never, right? Like, just where every night of the week it was
this may shock
different.
You, nor did I.
That is not a surprise.
Not a surprise, yes.
But, I mean, you know, a younger me in Chicago, working in bars, working in a gym, being a law student, and in Chicago, the land of plenty, you know, I had a couple good streaks.
I have no trouble being a ball player in college. Didn't hurt either.
I mean, not even going back to college. So for me, the experience of being able to say the right thing, do the right thing, and then, you know, the night sort of ends, and then people are just like, "So what happened last night?" Well, things went well. Like, I had a fair number of those in my own personal experience. So for me, it took me a little bit longer to get into the show, but there was a lot of things that I connected with. His relationship with his daughter, right? One of my biggest fears is that I'm fucking up with my daughter and I don't have the ideal relationship with her. Now, I know I have a pretty good relationship, but I still want to push to make sure that I have a really good one with her, and I am trying to figure out, like, how can I make sure that my kid doesn't end up being one of those goth kids who hates everything, who never talks to me, and, you know, moves away and ends up doing odd jobs for the rest of her life. You know what I mean? Like, weird sort of fears. And I can see how he's battling with that. And so I appreciate it. You know, his relationship with people that he works with, how, hey, you're really talented, but God, sometimes you're just a fucking asshole, right? Like, that's you and me all the time, right? Like, we're, you know, like, we work well together, but, like, sometimes you're just like, God damn it, you're a dick, right? Like, I get it. So there's a lot that I can relate to.
Hit me in the eye with a bottle cap. I have the right to. He feels bad about it, too. You can tell by the hysterical laughter.
I do.
Actually, you did. The one time you hit me square in the eye, you were like, holy shit, I'm sorry.
I did. I felt bad, and I was also amazed. I was like, the accuracy there.
I'm really good at this. But that's, I think, the great part of that show is that he is a flawed human being, not particularly shy about it. He's arrogant. He's snarky. He's a boozer and a womanizer. But he also has that good side where he does want to be right to his daughter. He does want to get things right with his daughter's mother, but constantly finds ways to fuck it up.
Right.
And
he's got boundaries. He's got limitations.
He does have a code that flows a bit, but... Right. But anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I am enjoying it.
Me too. So, without getting into too much detail, there's in that first season with the teacher, the creepy teacher who's creeping on the high school girls, where he goes in, like, I never slept with the underage girl. But there was a situation when I was in Chicago. I was training a mom, and her daughter used to come into the gym. And her daughter was, you know, very flirtatious.
Are we going to have to erase anything here?
No, okay. We don't have to erase anything. And her daughter was a very attractive girl, and she had a very flirty personality. But she wasn't the type of girl to just, you know, sleep with older men or anything like that. She just was a bubbly... She was flirty. She was, and she knew what she had going on, and it was what it was. But she was, you know, she was young, and I worked with her mom for over a year and a half, and she somehow got my number. She was in a jam with a guy, and he was an older guy. I think he was a college guy, and she called me. They were at a bar. He had got her in with a fake ID. She didn't feel comfortable. He didn't do anything to her, but she just didn't feel comfortable. She wanted to leave. She had no one else to call. She called me, and I came to get her, and the guy kind of gave me a hard time about coming to get her. And I proposed a couple options for him.
I was like, I'm sure you handled that with
proposed a couple options for him, and he took option B, which, you know, left him standing and, you know, left us walking out the door. It was fine.
So it was the opposite of the options A and B from the movie The Rundown. The Rock, great
it's
movie.
It's ridiculous that you make so many references but to that fucking movie.
It's a great
it's
movie.
It's not a great movie.
It's not a great movie. It's not a great movie. It's a very fun movie.
It's a fun movie, but okay,
The
fine.
Rock and Christopher Walken. True. And Sean, whatever, something Scott.
You can't even remember his name. Yes.
Whatever. The guy.
I like it.
Stifler from the American Pie movies.
I'm a big fan of The Rock.
Sean Scott?
I like the movie.
Okay, but anyway, the fact that option A is we go peacefully. Option B is the opposite of option A, so that's where I thought you were going to go with that. Anyway, yes. All right, I'm glad you're enjoying the show. I look forward to seeing. There's a few stages in it where it progresses in some.
This is kind of not fair. There's seven seasons of the show.
And I said we'd go season for season. So you want to punt anytime? Go ahead.
All right.
The
trade off is. There's 13 episodes of Jessica Jones, and they're all an hour. And
Californications
only 30 minutes.
It's a half an hour, right?
How many seasons or how many shows are in a season?
About 12.
I think, yeah.
12, yeah, 10, 12, somewhere in that range. And I'm probably going to beg you not to watch. Well, when you get to season
we'll see where it goes.
All right, man. I think we should shut this down. Mm-hmm. Good whiskey, good conversation. All over the. Oh no, I haven't done my comment.
Come at me, bro.
All right, I'm gonna use a quick one.
Come at me, bro.
So
come at me.
Our boy Jefferson Beauregard Sessions and the president have gone at it again this week. I'm not gonna ask you to predict if things will happen. What will it take for Jefferson Beauregard Sessions to either quit or be fired?
Trump's gonna have to fuck his wife.
we cannot end any better than that. You're probably because he ain't gonna quit. I think Trump might fire him.
Trump's not gonna fire him because there's too many really shitty political. Of all the people he can fire John Kelly. The only people he can't fire are Sessions and. Mike Pence. Those are the only people he can't fire. Okay. Anybody else?
One more random thing to tell you is worth putting on the show. I got a guy I've worked with, a friend of mine who you know, Scott, won't say last names.
No names,
has
please.
Been in D.C. this week.
Don't get hooked. Stay off Twitter. No names, please. Those are our rules.
Yeah, I don't even have a first name. No one's going to narrow it down. Anyway, Scott sends me a text message yesterday. A picture of him with his arm around a person next to his daughter. And I look at that person, and it's Sean Spicer. He is in D.C., wanders by an event in a Trump building, and Spicer is promoting his new book. Sean Spicer is tiny. Yeah, I would guess 5'3".
No, he's not that short.
I'll show you the picture. Okay, I'll show you the picture, but anyway. I get a text from Scott, and I'm like, all right, you're obviously doing this to troll me because he's standing in front of a Trump thing, and I'm like, that looks like Sean Spicer, but that can't be him. And so I literally
Googled. Was he chewing gum?
Perfect way to end. Good show, brother.
All right, man.
All right, thank you for listening to Whiskey Congress at Whiskey Congress on all social media. Please reach out to us.
Just before we go,
this is like end of Return of the King.
chances are, people have probably already shut us down. A new listener, Jimmy, reached out to us and gave us a lot of kudos and a lot of appreciation for the show. And I want to say, one, thank you for doing that. And I think it's important that we tell people because when you reach out,
we appreciate it.
Listen, we appreciate it, and two, I think it shows that, you know, we're doing something pretty decent here. So
right. And three, please do it either by email or social media. Don't see me at a bar and tell me, hey, when you said this about that, I'm like, I'm not.
No, do that. Fine.
Okay,
fine.
Okay,
either way, I mean, I've got
hit so many different ways. All right. On that note, at Whiskey Congress on all social media. Check out our Instagram to check out the Abner Doubleday Bourbon.
It's a cool bottle, kids.
Cool bottle. Good whiskey. We're out.
Later.